Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Melanie C. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, July 14th, 2020, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book study meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page XVII, 4th edition. It's called Forward to the 2nd edition is what this piece is entitled, and we're going to be taking apart paragraph 4, which starts with the appearance of the new book and ends over on the top of XVIII with alcoholics were on their way to recovery. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Rhonda R., the 12 traditions, Laura R. Reading the text and support today is Kathleen O., Don B., K.P. Greeting and getting sponsor contact is Roz G., so heads up for that, and then Leslie M. will give announcements at the end of the meeting. The share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study Meeting is 14971, 14,971. That would be for Monday, July 13th. And then today, this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study Meeting that happened just a couple hours ago is 14978, 14,978. And that is for July 14th on Tuesday, 7 a.m. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Rhonda R. to please read those 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, Melanie. This is Rhonda R., recovered in Atlanta. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service today.
Thank you very much, Rhonda R. I will now ask Laura R. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Hi, Laura.
Thanks. Hey, good morning. Thanks, Melanie. This is Laura R., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you very much, Laura R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. And I would like to point out this would mean the star 1 key function only. Otherwise, things will interfere with electronics for interrupting our recording. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the fourth edition of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous on page XVII. I'm going to unpack today paragraph 4, which begins at the very bottom of the page with saying, with the appearance of the new book, and ends on page XVIII with alcoholics were on their way to recovery. And I would like to ask Kathleen O. to please read that particular paragraph, unpack what the directions are and how she applies them to her life, and then we'll open up for additional comment. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, Melanie. This is Kathleen O., recovered in Northern California. With the appearance of the new book, a great deal began to happen. Dr. Harry Emerson Fosdick, the noted clergyman, reviewed it with approval. In the fall of 1939, Fulton Osler, then editor of Liberty, printed a piece in his magazine called Alcoholics and God. This brought a rush of 800 frantic inquiries into the little New York office, which meanwhile had been established. Each inquiry was painstakingly answered. Pamphlets and books were sent out. Businessmen traveling out of existing groups were referred to these prospective newcomers. New groups started up, and it was found, to the astonishment of everyone, that AA's message could be transmitted in the mail as well as by word of mouth. By the end of 1939, it was estimated that 800 alcoholics were on their way to recovery. Oh my gosh, you know, the growth of AA was truly phenomenal. And the Big Book was written in 1939, and when the second edition was printed 16 years later in 1955, AA had grown from the original 100 recovered alcoholics to over 150,000 recovered alcoholics. And that's nothing short of a miracle. With the appearance of the new book, a great deal began to happen. And boy, did it happen. So Bill W. and Dr. Bob were so limited in their ability to find alcoholics, you know, to help back in the 30s. There was certainly no internet. There was no free conference calls all over the world. And so they must have been ecstatic to be able to finally reach more alcoholics by mail, no less. So, you know, and this happened, they were able to do this because it happened with two big breaks, the invaluable support of AA by the well-known minister, Dr. Fosdick, and the featured story in Liberty magazine titled Alcoholics and God. And I'm guessing it must have been horrible in the 30s to be referred to as a drunk, and even the clergy couldn't help you. Before AA, ministers must have really dreaded trying to help alcoholics. And when this book became available and was endorsed by respected people like Fosdick, the clergy finally had a way to help someone suffering from this debilitating disease. And then Charles Townes got his buddy Morris Markey to approach Fulton Osler, who was the editor of Liberty, and the featured story came out, Alcoholics and God. And that story brought the publicity AA needed, and that's how these 800 pleas for help were turned over to Bill Wilson. So, you know, to be an alcoholic and read that story in Liberty describing the problem as an allergy, and you can find that story online, it's pretty interesting. And it was explaining that these you know, allergic types can never safely use alcohol in any form at all. And they were offering, you know, they describe how AA is offering a solution to their drink problem. So people reading that article probably felt the same way I felt when I found 12-step recovery. It was like, finally, there's hope. So we're reading about how AA grew, and it grew because the big book carries a message of depth and weight. And I love that we study the big book a paragraph at a time every morning. You know, why is it that vision continues to grow, and we hear so many people on the line saying they were in OA for years but never finally put the food down and recovered until they found vision? Well, we don't read this big book, we study it. And I found that following the directions in this big book really does work, just as it did and does for thousands of alcoholics. You know, I feel really lucky that I found vision when it began almost 8 years ago. I can't believe it's that long ago. And watching it grow and hear people recover just as Bill and Bob did once AA began to grow, it really is exciting. And, you know, Bill and Bob put their heart and soul into helping others get this message out. And so I just want to give a shout out to the people who put their heart and soul into keeping this meeting running smoothly, to those who make available the hundreds of recordings, the people who do service, the people who share their experience, strength, and hope on this meeting, and those who simply just show up for the meeting. I mean, thank you all. We are all in this together, helping each other, offering hope to those who are still suffering. And thanks, Melanie. I pass.
Thank you so much, Kathleen, for getting us started. The lines are now open for additional comments on that paragraph. And just to remind you, we are in the forward to the second edition, page XVII in the fourth edition. You'll find us at the fourth paragraph at the very bottom of the page, which starts with the appearance of the new book. And although we do really respect and cherish your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might have a chance to share as well. We have over 250 people on this line that would like to have a voice as well. So I'd like to take your first name and the first initial of your last name, please.
Diana H.
Diana H.
Terry S.
Terry S.
Zane W.
Zane W.
Dion R.
Dion R.
Patty T.
Patty T.
Mary G.
Mary G. That's a great lineup. Thanks so much. That'll get us started here, get things warmed up for the rest of the folks to come the next round. This morning I have Diane H., Terry S., Zane W., Dion R., Patty T., and Mary G. So let's start this particular section with Diane H. Good morning, Diana.
Good morning. This is Diana H. in Texas. I'm grateful to be on the meeting today, and thanks for letting me share. Yeah, I was just drawn to the word rush. And I was thinking back to, I'm retired now, but when I was working, there were many years when I was working with other women who were overweight, like I was. And I remember whenever the latest diet came out or some kind of new exercise program or vitamins or pills or juicing and fasting and books and all kinds of supposed remedies for our weight problem, people, word spread fast and we would all rush to try the latest fad. And sometimes they work, you know, for, you know, a day or two or a week or two or even a month. But what I didn't know, you know, and what we didn't know is we were trying to solve a weight problem. We were trying to solve an eating problem. I didn't know I had a spiritual malady that I needed a spiritual solution for. And I'm grateful to have a program and that provides a method and a very detailed, precise method and steps to follow to put myself in a position for a miracle. And I do need a miracle, and I've had a miracle, and I'm grateful to be recovered today and living in recovery. Like it says here, those 800 alcoholics were on their way to recovery, and I've been on my way to recovery, and I'm just very grateful. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very much, Diana H. Up next is Terry S. Good morning, Terry. And then after Terry, Zane will follow you.
Good morning. This is Terry S., a food addict in Bend, Oregon. It's beautiful here today. And yes, I'm still around. I've just been working early and not able to share. Anyway, I'm not a big book scholar. I love, though, that we're starting at the beginning. I remember a couple of weeks ago when we ended at page 164 and how excited I was that, oh my God, we get to read the prefaces and the forewords, and there's so much richness in this material. But I, too, wanted to focus on the frantic quality. I believe that is the only way that I found recovery, was the desperation when I hit these doors, when I found vision and the big book study and started really diving into the big book. I was so desperate for a solution. I was willing to go to any length, which I came into OA in 1988, and I was in and out for decades. I was at the gift of desperation several times, I thought. And yet, I played the yeah, but game. Yeah, but I always had a lurking notion that there was some other solution to my dilemma and my massive food addiction. But this time when I came into visions, I realized that how frantic I was. And, you know, we live in a society of instant gratification. I mean, we can't even imagine waiting for the mail that would take days to get there and then days to get back to you. And yet those people managed to recover because they were desperate. And they were reaching out to the only thing that they had ever found, and that they were being told, we found the solution, you too can have it. That is the magic. That is the gift of the 12 steps. And I'm so grateful today to be here. And for each and every one of us on this line today, that magic still exists. But you have to be desperate. I did. If I had any other ideas that I could find a simpler, easier way other than a spiritual solution, I was going to find it, and I haven't. So I'm very grateful to be here, and I'm looking forward to everybody's shares. Take care and have a great day. Bye.
Thank you, Terry S. Up next is Zane W., and Zane, Dion R. will follow you. You're up for three, Zane.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. This is Zane W. I'm a compulsive overeater here in Arizona, Phoenix. It's good to be here. I appreciate all the shares and really appreciate the reading. And I've been working the program with, you know, kind of like the story that was mentioned in the original lead. You know, I mean, I've been in LA for 3 years and definitely made progress, but in the, you know, and had significant weight loss, but was I entirely abstinent? No. And in the last 3 months, it was becoming more and more clear to me something's really off with me and with my life. And it's not all about the food. It was that the food was getting in the way of my recovery from the underlying disease, the ism and the spiritual malady and selfishness and dishonesty, and all my defects, which kind of spawn in that ism, were at a certain level being sustained by compulsive eating, even if I wasn't necessarily always overeating and I was away from binge foods and all this stuff for many years, but there was still something off. And I just assumed, you know, yeah, but this is just the way it is. Yeah, but it's food. It's in my life. Yeah, but I'm doing so well in these other programs. Yeah, but do I really need to like wake up so early to go to this meeting? Yeah, but do I need a new sponsor? All this stuff. But the best but is that eventually, yeah, but I want to be recovered. I want to get better. And it may be difficult, yeah, but I know it won't be more difficult than what I'm experiencing now, because I'll have a much more real connection to a group in the higher power. And so I'm just thankful. I mean, I just want to say thank you to everybody who's been here from the beginning of Vision and who stays every day or every week and just helps it keep growing and practicing these principles, because I actually have, one, I have abstinence today, which I haven't had for quite some time, and I have freedom from, at least today, the obsession is not nearly as strong as it has been, and I have hope. I really believe I was redirected to step two. I'm now on my eighth step in this group, but I believe that a higher power, I believe that God can restore me to sanity, and I believe it. I've seen it, and I believe it. And I have my food plan and my health eating behaviors posted up in my fridge, and I meditate on them before I eat, and it's really helping, and I'm making progress. So thankful to everybody who's allowed this group to continue to the we, because it's giving me hope. Thank you.
Thank you, Zane W. Dion R., you're next. Patty T. follows.
Hello. Excuse me. Hello and good morning. This is Dion R., grateful recovery, compulsive reader. I still got the fog in my throat. But I am just so grateful and elated to hear we're reading on this thing. And this, to me, it's like, everything I heard this morning was so identifiable, just about, and being reminded that anything I find in this big book, I can learn something new from it every time, no matter how many times I've read it. And what's standing out to me today is the part it talks about each inquiry was painstakingly answered. People were calling in, want to know about this alcoholics and God, you know, that what they saw in the magazine. So it was like, oh, what about this? But the beauty of it is reminding me of when they said at the end, by the end of 1939, right, estimated 800 alcoholics were on their way to recovery. So it started off, you know, of course, we know how it started, most people in the program, but it's the fact that it got in the magazine. You know, it started with Bill and Bob, then the magazine, and then it just kept growing. And that's what I hear, and that's what I'm seeing in the fellowship, not just Visions, but just the, I'll say OA in general. I'll even say higher power in general, because it just makes me compare to today. Like now there are certain groups that have formed all from other groups. You know, Alcoholics Anonymous, OA from Alcoholics Anonymous, and many others. Visions, of course, is the renaissance to me of OA. I, like many people, have been in a program over 20 years before I found my solution or the desperation. I was like sitting in a meeting, like the visual is like sitting in the wind for me, and I'm holding my chair, and I'm holding, I got abstinence, I'm holding it. I feel like if I just let go a little bit, the wind will blow me away. If I let go of holding on tightly, then I wouldn't survive. So I would not only lose my abstinence, probably lose my life. And the difference when I came to vision, the freedom I have is, oh my God, when I surrender, surrender to God and my understanding through the program. And now I don't have to let go of the chair. I use the chair for what the chair is. You know what I mean? So to speak, and the freedom, like someone just mentioned, everyone that mentioned before me, it's like the freedom I found that I no longer have to hold on to my chair. I hold on to something different, which is my higher. I no longer have to hold on to abstinence. I hold on to my higher power. Therefore, I get all those other things, if that makes sense. And I got it, thankfully, guys, through the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'm so very grateful. Free. And just like the pandemic, just free. I found so many other meetings from OA Visions, you know what I'm saying, where people send out. And it's just amazing. It's amazing through Zoom. And I'll even say again, through my higher power. And, of course, thank you, Melanie. And, guys, I thank you all for allowing me to share this morning. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Dion R. Patty T., you're up next. And then Mary G. will come after you. And then after that, in 6 minutes, we'll open it up for additional comments on paragraph 4, page XVII, forward to the second edition, fourth edition of the Big Book. Hi, Patty.
Hi, Melanie. Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. This is Patty T., recovering each day with the grace of God in Southern California. This phrase, each inquiry was painstakingly answered, piqued my interest too today. I feel like that's what we do every day on this meeting. You know, this book has the answers for me today that I couldn't get, no matter how much spirituality I tried to embrace. How many diets I embraced, how much restriction I did, how much I berated myself for not being able to. You know, this book tells me and teaches me each day and through this meeting how to do this, how to live life without using food as my survival kit. And I just think that's amazing. It's not a pill, but it is a remedy. It's not a cure, but it is recovery. If I do the work every day, if I put in the sweat, blood, and tears that it takes to face myself, to ask help from you, and to allow myself to hear God's will through you, I get to live free. That is profound to me. And the one other thing in here that it says, to the astonishment of everyone, that AA's message could be transmitted in the mail as well as by word of mouth. And I think what's really important here is that AA's message could be transmitted, not my message. You know, I have a really great gregarious personality. I have a very charismatic personality. But you know what? I also have a very sick and isolated and narrow mind. And when I'm in my disease, my disease can sound really inspiring. And it's absolutely A-OK to take that additional bite or have that additional serving, right? But this is AA's message. This is the message from the book. And the last little over 2 years that I've been in this vision meeting, I have learned to let go of my message and embrace AA's message. And I cannot tell you how much I appreciate all of you for helping me learn how to do that. And I'm going to pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Patty T. Up next is Mary G. Then right after Mary G's 3 minutes, we'll open up the line for probably four additional people to share on that paragraph. So if you have shared before in the last 3 days, we just ask that you step back and allow some other folks to be able to share their experience, strength, and hope with this particular paragraph, and we'll catch up with you in a couple of days. So Mary, your 3 minutes starts now, and then we'll grab some more names.
Okay, thank you. Hi, this is Mary G. from Chicago, Illinois. Hope, hope, hope. That is what I get from this. You know, it says here, where is it at? These frantic inquiries. Man, that's exactly where I was when I found vision. I was frantic. You know, it says an alcoholic in its cups is an unlovely creature. And wow, was I an unlovely creature at the time. I had broken my abstinence. I've been in OA for a while in my you know, face-to-face meetings. And I was frantically looking for recovery. I broke up with my sponsor and I was just a lone wolf there for about 2 weeks, and the disease was rapidly progressing. I remember a few years back, I heard about a vision for you at a workshop, and I think I listened to maybe a special edition here and there, and I don't know, for some reason that popped into my head. I'm assuming, you know, it was divinely inspired, and I got on a vision, and that was in the beginning of May. And I found nothing but hope here. You know, following the directions in the big book is it's what's gotten me recovered with entire abstinence and, you know, working these steps. It's so clear cut. So I'm so grateful for this. I'm so grateful, you know, for how AA has grown and, you know, with this painstaking, these people painstakingly answering, you know, the questions. I feel like that's how we've grown here. So, yeah, with that I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary G. So the lines are now open for additional comments on that paragraph. We want to be reminded it's paragraph 4 on page XVII, forward to the second edition, the fourth edition of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'll take your name and the first day I'll show your last name.
Darlette P.
Darlette P.
Laura R.
Laura R.
KP.
KP.
Reva G.
Reva G. And let's see. I think that might be all that we have time for, but we'll check in just a moment. Darlette P, Laura R, KP, and Reva G are the names that I heard. So we're going to start out of the gate with Darlette P, and then Laura, you'll come next. So hang close.
Hi, this is Darlette P, a grateful member of OA, and I want to thank everybody for their service. For me, I came into program in 1989, and I was in and out of program. And I didn't find vision until the last 2 years. And I have to admit that following the big book, working the steps, and going to face-to-face meetings, I have done wonders in the last 2 years. I'm so grateful for this program. It does say in the book, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. Well, I'm one of those slowly. I have a problem sometimes with cognitive thought process, so I think that impedes me a little bit because I'm bipolar. But I do know that the program works, but I have to work it. I can't just sit back and take an easier, softer way. I have to work my steps. And I have to be totally honest with myself. And I found that for myself, the biggest problem is in my head. It's my thought process. It's the phenomenon of the mind. If I get a thought in my head, I have to try and change it immediately, because if I don't, I'm going to give in. That's how powerful this disease is. It just takes me back to where I don't want to be. So I'm so grateful today that I've learned that that is one of my personal major issues, besides all my character of defects. And I'm just grateful. I just want to say to everybody out there and anybody that's a newcomer, just keep coming back because it works. Thank you. And I pass.
Thank you, Darlette P. Laura R., it's your 3 minutes to start right now, and then KP will come after you.
Good morning. Thank you, Melanie. This is Laura R., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. Man, just being in the book, listening to all of you, I just get shivers. And just so much excitement, you know, thinking about just how AA and OA and all the other 12-step fellowships have been established. And if it's nothing short of God, you know, I mean, I was just talking to a fellow the other day about just, you know, Woolen Hazard and Fieber Graves, you know, the senior who was the judge, and, you know, and just Jung and Adler and Freud. And it just blows me away to, you know, how this all got established. And then also just the drive that Bill and Bob had from, and the drive that Bob or Bill had from the moment to like pick up that phone and find another alcoholic so he can save himself. You know, and I guess the question to me is, am I doing that? Do I have that drive? You know, I love this book because it's a textbook, and I've been in it for 16 years, and I haven't even begun to scratch the surface of the gems that are in this book. And the other day, a fellow was reading, and she said, you know, in doctor's opinion, later he requested the privilege of being allowed to tell his story. Bill, it's a privilege that we work with others. It's a privilege that we get, you know, the word of OA out to other fellows. Is it a privilege to me, or is it something that I'm like, oh, I have to do? And, you know, the more I get in the book, the more I study it for myself, the more I read it to others, oh, the more I listen to podcasts and special editions and study it for myself, the more on fire I get for this program. And right now, that's what I feel. Like, I feel the spirit inside me and just so pumped. Another thing that someone looked at is, you know, again, on Bill's story, it's a checklist of, you know, is this my life? Like, do I feel this way? We commenced to make fast friends in a fellowship that has grown, you know, among us. The joy of living, seeing hundreds of families set their feet in the path that really goes somewhere. Domestic situations righted. Like, do I see this? Family feuds and bitterness have sorted and are wiped out. Is that my life? Like, do I see that? Am I a part of that? Bill and Bob have been a part of that from the gate. That's what they wanted. You know, that's what they've actually like trying to carry that message to help others. And, you know, do I attend meetings frequently? Do I reach out to others? Am I being of service? So it's just, you know, just the barometer of like, am I on the firing line of life? And with this meeting, thank you. I, you know, like the leader shared, I am in awe of a vision for you and so grateful that I'm a part of it and so grateful that, you know, the members who started this 8 years ago, that I get to be, you know, a part of this and being able to carry the message to others through and leading people to this meeting so we can carry it out and where we are. So thank you, Melanie, and thank you all who have shared before me. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Laura R. KP, it's your 3 minutes now, madam, and then Reva G will follow you.
Good morning. This is KP, gratefully recovered from Malden, South Carolina. I just wanted to say what hope there is here. I know that's already been said, but I don't share a lot. And I listen every day, usually all three meetings, but I don't usually share. But this was important to me. I was so desperate. You can't believe how desperate I was. It was out of control. This addiction owned me. body, mind, and soul. It owned me. My last binge, my binge food was sugar. My last binge, I was so desperate to stop that I made up my mind I was not going to eat sugar, but I knew I was going to eat. I got out some green beans. I was going to put them on the stove. And the next thing I knew, I was eating them straight from the can. And the next thing I knew, I had eaten 5 cans. And nobody but a crazy compulsive overeater will do something like that. That's insane. And if this had not, this book had not been written and circulated and things progressed into where we have internet, I don't know where I'd be today. I looked it up on the internet, found a meeting, and went. And from my first meeting, I was abstinent. This is where I found hope. Hope is an important word for me because of that. These people had what I wanted. And I was determined to do whatever they said and get it. I've been abstinent and recovered for 2 years. And look forward to the future. I don't miss sugar at all. I'm amazed by that. And I may be stopping this a little early, but I think that's okay. I'll wind it up and say I pass. Thank you so much for this meeting.
Thank you, KP. Reva G., you're up for 3 minutes, and we might have time for one more after Reva speaks, so you might want to get ready for that. Good morning, Reva.
Good morning from Brooklyn, New York. Bright and sunny. I was recently upset because someone who I was trying to help became quite harsh. And I realized that After I instead of going back to that person or trying to discuss anything, what I did was I sat and I prayed, and I prayed for the ability to not be in self, but to try to carry a message. This whole book is written telling us over and over again, we're being prepared to carry a message. On the top of page 77, it says, your own recovery is not the point of all the work. The main objective is to get me to carry a message. After I recover, I will then have a message. So how do I become a part of an army of God's little helpers who are trying to carry a message? And in the midst of my own distress, I sat there knowing that my distress was not the problem. How could I find a message was the problem? And what happened was I suddenly realized that I had real faith in a power greater than myself to keep me safe and ride through whatever distress and get to the other side of it safe and protected. And that's, in fact, what happened to me. I never even realized the depth of my own faith. I always thought I didn't have enough of it, but I do. It's really remarkable. We are God's little helpers, and the one thing we really need before God accepts our resume is we have to be failures. We have to be failures in 100 ways, the same as every one of these alcoholics were. They were failures at life. They were all drunks. Everybody hated them. Everybody had no use for them. They were bums on the street. They were stealing from their wives' purses. None of us were the models of society that would be considered a success, except in the program. We succeed because we never even try, and we're helpless and we're powerless. We never could. But God brings us along so that our pain drops away, fades away, and we're left with that wonderful message, and that is that we each have a faith in a God that carries us through. And that, I think, is the most hopeful message that ever occurred to me. And so with that, I think I will stop. I pass.
Thank you so much. Reva G., it looks like we have time for one more person to share. You press star one, please.
Kathy Z.
Kathy Z., you have it. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for letting me share. I'm Kathy Z. from Washington State. I am a compulsive overeater, recovering today, and very grateful for our meetings, grateful for the fellowship, for my sponsor, for the big book. So grateful for everything. Our fellowship is so important, and I'm proud of how I've allowed God to work in my life, and how I've been able to learn how to depend on Him. And this plan of the solution that we have is a plan of action. Everything that revolves around the solution is active. I was very active in my compulsivity, and it really showed up in my food addiction. And but because of my higher power, I was able to, or he was able to change that and turn my my actions from compulsivity to an action to work the solution, and the solution in this big book. And so every day I'm working the solution, going to my meetings, spending time in meditation, speaking to God every day, looking for God every day. And then above all, the next step in my journey is reaching out to help others who are still sick. And so we have this beautiful solution that was founded and brought to us that is active. And I just love that. So it's changing the active behaviors and the negative behaviors that are killing me into behaviors that are bringing new life to me, and also helping to bring new life to others. And I just love being in this stream of hopefulness and help and love, and I'm so grateful today. And thanks everybody for your shares, and I will pass.
Thank you, Kathy Z. It looks like we really do have time for one two-minute share. Would somebody like to take that time, or would we like to advance in the meeting?
This is Carol.
Hey, Carol, did you want to take about a minute and a half?
Yes.
It's all yours.
Carol. Thank you. I'm Carol F. I'm from Redmond, Oregon, and a very grateful member of this meeting. I just wanted to reflect on what was just shared about God's resume, because I grew up in a very perfectionistic family, and I've come to understand that, I think I heard on this line, perfectionism is fear in fancy clothing.
Carol, want to hang on for just a second? There seems to be some background noise or something, and I don't want people to miss what you're sharing about. If you are on the line, if you press star one, or if it's coming from your line, Carol, maybe you can readjust for us.
It may be from my line, but let me see if I can fix something here. Is that better?
Are you using a headset or something like that? That sometimes robbing and scratching.
It works? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. You betcha. Sorry about that. I thought it was something.
Okay, that's okay. I just, the thing that that is often read at the beginning of our meeting is, it is weakness and not strength that binds us together. And that was just such a powerful reminder for me that we didn't come here because everything was going great in our lives. And that the unifying message that brought AA together to begin with was not we're so wonderful, but we need help. So I just love this book. I love this study. And I love what has been shared today, and I'm just so glad to be here.
I'm
grateful for this meeting. And I will end with that. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Carol. Thanks for the adjustment. I thought maybe it was coming from your line. It sounds like it was. So thank you for that adjustment for the ears that were hearing it. I didn't want to miss your share. So that takes us to the end of this particular recorded portion of our meeting. And we'll advance to the unrecorded portion after we kind of close up shop here. Thank you, everyone. It was the service today for us on a vision for you. Makes this meeting possible. And appreciate your loyalty and your devotion to the cause of recovering from compulsive overeating and those that still suffer. I'd like to ask now for Don B. to please read the closing, which is on page 164 of our big book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. And then stay tuned. We'll say the Serenity Prayer after that. And then we'll head into greeting newcomers and the rest of the meeting. So, Don, I'd love to invite you in to read those pages, please.
Good morning. This is Don B., recovered in Southern California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourselves to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until